Welcome to All In Definitely, interviews and insights to empower you to achieve personal and professional success through friendships, relationships, and marriage. Here are your hosts, Anwar and Sianna.
Welcome to another episode of All In Definitely, and we're back on the topic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited.
Oh, man. Well, I wanted to talk to you. I know we left off last time and we were talking about the important things in life and you know, thinking about what's most important to us right now. But right now, I wanted to ask you about like this trauma in life. And trauma in life can be like very detrimental to a relationship. Outside things, outside trauma. Someone somewhere dies or something's really sick and all of a sudden you start forgetting your spouse and stuff like that. Does this topic resonate with you anyway? Because I know a
yes.
lot.
Well, yes. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's not only current drama, but also past drama. If you think about it, you were talking now and I was thinking, I read once that one of the secrets to a flourishing relationship is to find somebody who has similar traumas as you, so that you can understand each other. And I think that's important. Like things that you went through while you were a kid, if you have somebody who went through something similar or has certain feelings and empathy towards that, it will make your relationship better because they will understand you.
I like that. I never heard that before, but you're right.
But if you think about it, it's true because you understand better the person.
Similar trauma. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So that's in the past. And when in the current dramas, traumas, it's similar because you tend to, like you said, forget about your relationship for a little bit just because there's something more important at the time, or at least you think it's more important that you need to focus on. So,
yeah. Or just a focus.
Yes.
Just a focus. Yeah. So right now you're focus on your law school.
Yes.
Is that traumatic?
That's a huge trauma.
Is that trauma to your relationship?
No, not really. I mean, it is trauma for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe you could ask Peter eventually, but I am really grateful for Peter for that because he is very understanding. So it doesn't really cause any trauma or drama in their relationship
because
he understands.
He's understanding, yeah.
Yes, yes. And he accepts it and he knows where I get into and he's okay with that.
You know, my mom, when I was when we were younger and she was like, remember I was telling you before, she took like 14 years to get her bachelor's degree. Took forever for her to get it because, you know, being alone and having to work and coming into this country and figure things out is very difficult.
Yeah.
But she didn't stop. She kept going. I remember my dad was like telling her, you need to drop out of school because she's not being a good wife. And he actually forced her. He forced her to stop a few times, but she would take a couple of years off or a year off, and then she would go back and say, "No, I'm going to finish on my own." And she always said it's the best thing she ever did, because you know when they did finally get a divorce, she became a teacher. She was still able to hold a house down and get us to a place where we would be okay, but you know that sacrifice of school was like changing her, I guess. Obligations to from my father's perspective, but
and the degree was forever, even though the marriage wasn't.
Right. Yeah, you know, it worked out in her case, and I'm so glad. And you know, like I said, she's one of my heroes in life. And
mine.
Yeah. So thank you. she's great. And which by the way, I'm going to be doing sidetrack the conversation for a second. You know, my mom is getting older and so starting mid-April, I'm going to start traveling. She wants to go to India. Listen to this so far.
Oh my
God. We're going to be leaving here, I think on April 18th or April 19th, 2023. The plan is to leave here and go straight to Morocco. And
nice.
We're going to go to Marrakesh and Casablanca and then go to Dubai. And I don't know when she was, but she wants to go to Dubai for the 21st, which is Eid, which is when the last day of the religious month of sacrifice. She wants to celebrate that in Dubai. And then from there, she wants to go oh my God, Cambodia, Vietnam, Nepal, Thailand, Singapore.
That's amazing.
I'm like, Mom, you can't just like the whole world. It. So I was like, but I promised her that I would and I will. We're going to be going on there. And that's why it's going to be good that we're doing this podcast by Zoom, because we'll be able to keep up with the podcast and let you know how things are doing. And, you know, she's been fiscally responsible her whole life. Now, I'm going to pay for her, right? I'm going to pay for her. So she already knows that I'm going to cover her costs. But she told me like this. She says, I don't care if I have to pay and put it all on my credit card. I'm going. Because she's like, I'm going to put it on my credit card. I'm going to go see the world and I'll just pay it off forever.
That's great.
But she will not. I will not let her pay. But so we're going to be going to all over the place. And then over to Australia, and then she wants to see China and Japan, and then go to Hawaii, and then come back around the world. So we'll be going all the way around the world and coming back. And so that's my last half of April, all of May, and first half of June. And then I go to Spain the first 2 weeks of July, which is a place I love to be very much. and then I'll be back here working on business for the rest of the year. I don't have plans to go anywhere after that. So that's so cool travel plans coming up. So, and like, it's all subject to like whatever. I don't even know what country she can change her mind to, but we're going to stay gone. We're not going to be here.
That's fine, because we can just do this.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And by the way,
you can get information from all those countries. That's
right.
Perfect.
Right. And I can still work for, and that's a blessing of being in, you know, post COVID world, is that it's so acceptable to be everywhere. Yep. And not have to, like, you know, this whole Zoom platform is actually something really great. I like it. But
you know what I was thinking now? Just, I'm sorry. No, it's just, I got to tell everybody this, because I'm more bought a green screen to,
oh yeah,
that you actually attach to the back of your chair.
Oh God.
And he just, please don't, just don't.
Look at this thing is huge. I have it. Can it be in focus here? But
that's perfect that it doesn't work. It's great, because it was the funniest thing. I wouldn't be able to focus. But anyways, he had like a beach behind him. Like, it was like the waves going on and off. So now you can actually have that. What happened with your camera?
I don't know what's happened to this camera. Focus on me. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
So now that you're traveling.
Now it'll be a real beach.
Yes, that would be great. Oh my God, I'll have such FOMO.
So back to what we were talking about for trauma. I find like, you know, experiencing life from when my aunt, who I love very much. So my story goes back to this. It's like, so we were in another country. We were in Guyana. And I spoke about that whole journey on another episode. But we were in Canada. We ended up in Canada, and my aunt had, my mom's older sister came to America and had a baby, and they had at that time, if you have an anchor baby, you're allowed to stay here in the country, and at that time you can also sponsor your siblings and parents. So my aunt came here, sponsored my cousin was born here in New York, and then she sponsored all of us to come. So that's how we're here, right? And I was 4 years old at the time when we came over from Canada here. I'm 42 now, so it's been a while. I remember her story, my aunt, who I love very much. She suffered from scleroderma, which is a hardening of the skin, but also your organs harden. So it's a very difficult, and it's rare, but it's difficult. And but she had this will to survive, right? And this will to live. And the reason why is because of her son. She never felt like she, like he was good enough to go, although he's nothing wrong with him. He's, you know, there and very smart and capable, but she always wanted like him to be married and have the perfect scenario before she kind of like passes on. And, I think that part of, if if you were to talk to people, I think that part of what kept her will to stay alive for so long, she lived longer with scleroderma than she was alive without it. Wow. So very long, full life and beautiful person. And but that will to live was for her son. And I always appreciated that. And I find that people that are in their, you know, we all say not just our marriages are indefinite, but also life itself is indefinite. You know, it's just only a matter of time. None of us make it out of this alive. But she had a will to just want to live because of her spouse. And I find, I'm not her spouse, her son, but I find that some people want to live longer to take care of their spouse. You ever experienced this?
Not the spouse, but I'm actually currently going through something similar because it's my friend from elementary school, and his mom has been battling with cancer for the last 6 years. And I think it's similar to your aunt. Like, she's stayed alive because of him. Like, she's been fighting harder because she wants to be with her son and she wants to be there for him. And she has, and she's the most positive person that I probably met. And like brave, because even, you know, now in the hospital, because she's like terminal now, unfortunately, you see her fighting and being positive and making plans and thinking about what's going to happen once she's out of the hospital. And I think that's so beautiful. And something that got my attention most importantly than, you know, being positive is the fact that she's a scientist, she's a doctor, and now she's looking for faith, like talking to God, praying, you know? And it's so interesting how we go back there when we don't have anything else, you know, like when we know that science cannot do anything else, we just go and pray. And that's beautiful. Like, I thought it was beautiful when it happened the other day, even though, you know, it's sad, everything that's going on. I am personally learning so much from this experience rather than just being something tragic and a trauma. It's a learning experience for me. And I think that it does apply for relationships as well. And you will see, well, I mean, there are cases where people who have been together forever, they die within hours of each other, you know? Yeah. And how do you explain that? Because like, it's just,
yeah, I hear that. Is there science behind that? I don't know. I don't know.
I have no idea, but it's crazy, right? That it happens. And then you find other cases, like my grandparents, they're like I probably one of the few happily ever after that I've seen. And my grandma was able to, you know, live and have a happy life even after my grandpa passed away for like 5 years more, you know, and she had a fulfilled life. And that's also beautiful. Like, that was another lesson for me. The way that she got up, and like, I remember, and this is something, I don't know if I've told you this, my grandma had cancer in her 40s, like breast cancer. So after that, she never went to the beach. She would, like, even if she went to the beach, she would stay in the sand. She would never go in the water. And right after my grandpa passed, I went to visit, like a year later, I went to visit because I was living in Spain, and we went to the beach for like a week. And that day I convinced her, and she went in the ocean, and she was so happy. She's like, oh my God, this is so good. And after that, she did it every day. Oh my God. I was so happy because it was like a reborn or rebirth for her.
Why didn't she go in the water before?
I guess that she had like complex, like she was feeling insecure because she lost her breast. And so I guess that she was feeling insecure, but then I guess not having my grandpa gave her like a whole new perspective in life. And like, that's not so important. Yeah. And she would just wear my mom's bathing suit, and she went in the water, in the ocean. Like, we went together. She had the best time. I was so happy to experience that because, again, in my entire life, I had never seen my grandma going in the ocean, barely going to a beach. You know, and you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, that brings us back to one of the most empowering things that you can have in your life is not caring about what other people think about you. I mean, that is the most empowering thing that you can do in your life. So many times I have seen people like so crippled by what they think that somebody may think of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could just put that aside, their life would be so immensely better.
Yes.
So, I mean, like that goes a lot with what we, you know, talk about constantly. And I mean, from we're here talking about trauma, but that's a way of giving yourself trauma. But mm-hmm. I think be concerned about what everybody thinks about you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad because it limits everything in your life.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because when you, let's see the influencers, I'm pretty sure the first influencers talking on Instagram to the phone, people will be like, what the hell is happening here? Like, this is ridiculous, you know? And they had the power or the strength or whatever, like the bravery to just say, I don't care, I'll just do it. And now yeah. they're millionaires, you know,
yeah.
by just
yeah.
talking to their phones. And they changed a lot of things in our society by just doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just talking about influencers because it's something like closer to us, but everybody who's changed something started by not caring about what other people would say about
it. I agree. I 100% agree with that. And like, I think about it's hard to imagine a time where you don't consider anything that people say, because mm-hmm. somebody somewhere is going to matter to you. But so I'm not saying don't do that, but just don't do it so much where everything yeah. that person says about you
yeah.
is something that you know, you consider. Now I'm going to a wedding, I'm going to have to wear something nice. I don't want to show up in jeans and say, I don't care what people think about me. That's not the mentality. It's like the mentality is the idea that I'm going to not care if they think I can't dance, and I'm going to go dance.
Exactly.
Now, I don't care how I don't care what they have to say about it. Like, my salsa game is not good. I don't care. As long as I'm doing it, like,
oh,
it doesn't
God.
Matter.
Oh my God. I wish I was a fly in the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. So it, you know, when I think about it, it's like when we're thinking about, we're on the topic of trauma. So there's so many traumas. There's trauma of your life, over what you may be going through. There's trauma of external factors like people dying, war, loss of a job, whatever the case may be, that can affect your marriage and yourself. And there's trauma at the end of your life. There's trauma saying that I am not going to live forever. I now know that I'm within a certain time period and all that happens. Let's talk for a second about if you're at the end of your days. What is going to matter to you most at that time? You think about that? You ever think about that?
No, not really, because I really hope, especially after experiencing this, to die while I'm sleeping. But I think if I were to think about it, I would think about the people that I leave behind, that I really hope that they just are happy and just don't suffer or don't feel sad because I'm gone. Like something like that, like my family, especially, you know.
Well, like if God forbid, I mean, something happened to you and you knew that this was like you have a week to live, 2 weeks at the most. I mean, what would you think about your life in those 2 weeks? And I know that you're going to miss people and people are going to miss you and we're all going to pass. We're not going to stay here. But you ever think about what more do you want to do in your life?
If I knew that I was going to die in 2 weeks, I would just try to travel and get to see whatever I couldn't and whatever mm-hmm. I like, kind of like bucket list type of things. And now that we were recently talking about passing information, I would try to like make sure that the people that I love know that some things aren't that important after all,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Maybe one of the first things I would do is drop out of law school because
yeah. it doesn't make
I only have
difference.
2 weeks. It doesn't yeah. make any difference. So that I guess that gives you perspective. And we go back to the whole faith thing that I was talking about. Like, you definitely weed out a lot of the things that we care now, you know, like about like now that when we finish this, I'll be like, oh my God, I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh my God. Like my day is so filled with chores. Mm-hmm. Definitely being in that situation is like, no, that doesn't matter anymore. What matters, I think, is your relationships with people, whoever mm-hmm. you have around, and with yourself, because you got to now accept what's going on and it's okay. And again, like, do what's more important to you.
I encourage everyone to, first of all, I encourage everyone to have a will, right?
Yeah.
No matter where you are, I encourage you to have a will.
Yes.
Even if it's just you writing down some thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Of what you wanted to happen in the event that your untimely death. And on that, when you do that, because I've done that recently, you start putting a lot of things in perspective. Right away, writing down, like, if I died, this is what I ask, and this is what I would hope for in my untimely death. Whatever you put down on that paper, it's very introspective process. You're going to start looking into yourself and saying, okay, what really matters to me?
Mm-hmm.
And what message do I really want to send? And if everyone had that homework assignment, just to write a will, just to write down what you want to do, I think that you're really going to start internalizing what matters most to you. Because if you get in a car accident or a plane goes down or it lights out, you don't even have time to prepare. You don't even have time mm-hmm. to take that last trip to I don't know, Bali or wherever you want to go. I mean, you just have to just start, like, right now thinking, okay, if in the event of my untimely death, this is what I would want. And, you know, I don't want to read my will. I'm sure you're going to read it if anything happened to me. But I just want people to think about that process, because if you don't do it just as an exercise, it's going to make you feel like I left some things for some people that I really want them to have, some messages to people that I really want them to understand. And, you know, you realize that I don't really even care about the money. I don't care about whatever the money is. It's like, I hope people have a great life. And, you know,
I think it's a very good idea. I'm going to do it today.
Yeah, I would love that. I'd love to see that. Yeah, write down that thing. And you don't have to share it, because the will is kind of a personal process. But it really is a time for reflection of you. And you'll probably change it a few times. Mm-hmm. But you'll really think about what matters most to you.
Your
niece and your family.
And who matters most to you.
And who matters most to you, yeah.
And also, who do you really trust? Because let's say in my case, for example, something that I do think about, by the way, is like I think about my parents. Like, I think that I have to take care of them, you know? So if I'm not there, who will take care of them? And it gives you perspective of the people who you can truly trust that will do what you're asking them to do. Because let's be honest, people are greedy. And even though they, you know, they're your friends, they love you, whatever, when they see that they have access to something that they didn't have access before, they can misuse it. So you want to make sure that whatever it is that you want to make sure it gets done, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It's a very good idea, because it gives you so much perspective. And again, like, it's not only to just write a will and leave it there for whatever it's needed. It's write a will and gain that experience, that perspective, and then do something about it in your life, which you already luckily still have.
Yeah, so. Well, I think we start off talking about trauma on this, but I think
this is our trauma.
The theme of this podcast or conversation should be a will. Because really and truly, you know, it's hard to see people suffer, and it's hard to go through things. Life is just normal. You're going to go through stress outside of that. It's what you want when you leave behind that really matters most. You know, I have a business. I have a couple of businesses, and it's so hard. You can't just – it's easy to leave people money. It's easy to leave people, like, things, because, you know, hey, whatever jewelry I have here, take it, you know, have at it. Whatever money I have, you know, protect the animals or wherever you want, whatever we can do. But when you leave a business to someone, that's very difficult, because you want to continue the mission of the business. And there's only very, very few people that can handle that. So that's been my biggest process, is to try to find someone that can actually continue on what I'm doing in the way that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Where it's not about just money. It's really about helping other people in both of my businesses. So that's very difficult to do. I haven't had it 100% figured out yet, so I hope I don't die soon.
I hope I'm able to
live a little longer to at least iron those things out. But it's something to everyone to think about.
And yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You know,
it's hard. And also, like, I am now taking that class in school, and it's so nasty. I don't have a better word to say it, when people think that they have access to something, because let's say that you die interstate without a will, you will have everybody who knew you at some point thinking that they're entitled to something, you know, or everybody in your family. And that is something that I would like to avoid with a will. Like, I don't want my family fighting for whatever little I could provide, you know, like, or whatever little I had. I don't want to feel that that happened, you know, and it happens all the time. So I think that's the most important part of the will. And that's why I did tell you, like, have clear ideas and instructions of what you want, because that makes everybody else, everybody that you love.
But when you said that to me, you haunt me with that. Sorry, the thing keeps losing focus. You haunted me with that leave the clear instructions things, because it's kind of like, I just said, like, let this person have that person have that, and that's it. But you want, like, the instruction part of it is the difficult part, because it's really like a hope. It's really like a hope that.
Well, but it's in your will, so now it's kind of like enforceable. But is what I'm talking here, it's about, like, let's say your business, you know, you want your business to be administrated in a way, or be managed in a way, you know, or, like, in my case, my parents. I don't want somebody to just give money to my parents. No, like, I want to make sure that they have company, that they have, you know, that's what I meant by clear instructions. Like, make sure that whoever reads your will knows exactly what you wanted, you know, and not just like, oh, this is what I got. No, you didn't get to take care of my parents, like, just to have the little money that I could leave. You have to use that money as if they were your parents. Like, hopefully you are a good kid or a good son or daughter, you know?
Yeah.
And in your case with the business, it's the same thing. Or, like, my dogs. Oh my God. Speaking of dogs, there's have you heard of the richest dog in the world? It's a German Shepherd.
Is that that Netflix thing?
It's on Netflix.
With the woman that was, like, a multi-zillionaire or something like that?
Yes. And so that's an example. She left clear instructions of what she wanted for her dog. And I love it, because I have a German Shepherd and I love that. So I'm like, if I had all that money, I would definitely leave it to somebody to make sure that my dog is taken care of. I don't think my German Shepherd needs a yacht and a private jet and all that.
He's got all that money, so he's got to do something with it.
But yeah, like, it's a good example of that, you know, just make sure that you leave clear instructions. But yeah, you definitely need to have a will, and we certainly need to put all of our traumas aside and write down what we would like to happen in our afterlife. And that will give us a great perspective of what really matters to
right
us.
Now. Mm-hmm. Right, what matters right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's difficult.
Would you leave things to your spouse? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Everything?
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll be one of those.
Yeah. I don't have a problem. Well, listen, if I had children and the mother of my children had, you know, I'm absolutely leaving everything to the mother of my children with the understanding that the children never get anything. Everything they get, they have to get on their own. That's my wish.
Okay, so you're leaving
that's one of the things that are not up for negotiation for me. Because I have seen how children that wait to inherit things end up not contributing to society, end up not living to their full potential, and they're too, that safety net of life is it works to the detriment of humanity and to their own life. And all of the stuff that you're doing right now, and you're suffering through law school, and we were just having this conversation about you want to be able to go to Chipotle and ask for extra guac. Like, you just want the extra guac and not have to do the math on this is $1.80 or whatever the case may be.
Can I afford this?
But, yeah, can you afford it? But you know what, though? That's important, though.
I think that's important to go through that whole thing.
There's people that go through things and they don't even know what it is to want something. And they still are not happy. So I don't have any children, but if I ever did, I would spare them that. They're going to know. They're going to know what it is because they're not going to have or expect. And it's so much character building. I don't mind being broke. I don't mind being in a state where I have to work towards something. But I know that once I get, like, I'm going to know how to do it. I'm going to work hard for things, and then I'm going to enjoy it. I think you enjoy it better that way anyway. And
you said I don't mind being broke, and I'm at this moment in my life where I do mind being broke.
Well, that's
I just wouldn't mind being poor.
That's what I mean by that. That's what I mean by that.
Money poor.
Yeah. If you are broke, I don't mind that because what's more important is that you have the will and the hunger to do something better.
And you will.
If you decide to stay that way, that's your choice. But if you decide to like sacrifice and go get a job, I'm not asking people to be rich. I'm just asking people go be accountable for your own life, not go and find someone to be accountable for me.
Exactly.
That's not what I'm asking.
Because what comes with the money, with the trust, like you were saying, like with your kids, it's also the same as the people who get married thinking that if I get a divorce, I get alimony money. You know,
that's the same. Big in marriage. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. like people get married legally for that reason. They want to know that I'm contracted to this person and now I'm not in this world alone and they can't just leave me.
Now they have to provide.
Now they have to provide. It's a barrier to exit. And that calm is why people still do the whole licensed marriage.
Yeah. It's
they need the barrier of exit. They need to know if you try to leave me, I'm going to sue you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you live up to some sort of whatever the case may be.
Sad.
Yeah, I don't think that's a strength in most cases. I think that's something that has to be worked upon, you know, like
you
have to fix those.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it is so beautiful to work and you know, try to develop your dreams and make it a reality. And even you become a much better person when you have to work for something and you're not just sitting there waiting. Oh, I don't care. He has to provide for me. And when he doesn't, I'll just get a divorce and he still has to provide for me. So that's, to me, it's sad. It's sad because you're not developing your potential the way you should, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I look at it all the time. I mean, I know several cases of people that have that are divorced. You know, my second business is real estate. I have a real estate brokerage, and I've dealt with recently with a client that's in her 70s. She's 70. She has no children. She was married to a judge her whole life, and that's her highlight. What she says to when she meets people, I'm the wife of a judge. Like that's what she says to people. But she has a disconnect with reality because she doesn't believe. Like it's just difficult to talk about, but it's kind of like this entitlement of where she is, and you know, and the sad part is that she took care of her mother until her mother passed, and she took care of her husband until her husband passed, and then she has no one right now. But not only that, she has no one to give her that sense of entitlement anymore, and the reality is kind of like sinking in a lot of different ways. And it's you know, she doesn't have friends, she's mostly on her own, and and
that's sad.
When she dies, there's not anything much to in the form of contribution that she's going to make. And I think that she can change that. She can change that right now if she was willing to have the perspective. But people at this point in their life don't just change the way they always were to become something. They kind of want the world to change to them. And I'm probably guilty of some of those things as well. But at the same time, I don't want... I don't feel entitled. I don't feel people owe me anything. I don't feel the government owes me anything. I have no problem with going out and seeking a better life for myself and relative to where I am and what I'm doing. And I think that other people should do the same thing. That's like a
Well, and also with our topic, we should also, in a way, embrace our traumas because that made us who we are, in a way. Yeah. And when I say embrace, it's not only accepted as a positive thing, because sometimes it isn't, but just understand, accept it in a way like, okay, I do have this issue that I need to work on, or I need to fix, or I need to change, or that I need to simply accept because it won't change because it's who I am, you know, but then make sure, like I said at the beginning, that your partner either understands it or experience it in a way so that it is a better kind of like relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, it's okay, because like we always talk, it's indefinite.
So let me ask you this, and this is like we're out of time here, so I'll just finish with this and you get the last one.
When you say let me ask you this.
Yeah. So you sacrifice, you become an attorney, and you're worth $25 million, and you pass away. What do you write on your will? Who does that money go to?
Do I have kids?
Yes, you could say whatever you say.
I will probably
do you want kids?
I don't know. So, okay, so then let's say I don't. Okay. Let's say I will probably leave it to somebody whom I don't know right now who that person is. But somebody who will do good with it, like will not use it. Like that's like you were talking about. I would probably leave a good part to like dogs, pet rescuers, like type of things.
Shelters, yeah.
Shelters,
no,
yes.
No kill shelters, yeah.
Exactly. And to fund other, like I've been working as a pro bono with a lot of charities and a lot of organizations doing great work with different things. So I would probably leave some of the money to that. And obviously to my family, just to ensure like my niece has a good education, for example. I wouldn't just give her money. I would make sure to leave clear instructions that money is for her to study or to become a better person. And if Peter is around, I would leave some to Peter. I would leave some to you because I know that you will find a good thing to do with it. And somebody, like I said before, to make sure that my parents will be taken care of. That's what I can think.
So you got some homework to do with your yes. will.
Yes. We'll see if that changes.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, because that's the whole goal of a will. If you need to change, you change it. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But it always keeps you in perspective. Whenever you're writing that down, it always it gets to a part of your thinking is like, my life's not complete, and I can't, if I'm not here, I can't affect change. But this is the only way I can affect change, at least in a direction, and is by listing a couple of things that I want to have done or continue on or wish for other people. All right. Well, this has been a great conversation. I think we're going to have much more conversations on things like this.
I know.
Shout out to our sponsor, careerhighschool.com. Visit that if you need a high school diploma or career training certificate.
Or call 305-456-5948.
Yes, you can definitely call.
I hate when you don't give the phone number.
I just think it's just enough people that want to hear commercials. Okay. They can see in the comments. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Sienna.
You.
And we'll be in touch soon.
Yes.
All right. Take care.
You've been listening to All Indefinitely. Help us spread the word by subscribing and sharing the show.